You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Now, today we're going to talk about a meat tax. But before we begin, the website is naturopathicearth.com, naturopathicearth.com. Go check out the myriad of articles that I have there. Food recipes, essential oil recipes, clean eating articles, biohacking the body articles, free PDFs, how I lost over 100 pounds and kept it off for 25 years, blog series is there, confessions of an obese child is there, and much more is there. So go check it out. Also, of course, Kate and I are just two poor teachers, so please, we like to help, like you to help us defray the cost of this enterprise, because it does cost money monthly to keep the server going and keep the podcast hosting services going as well. So we have two ways to do this. We have a Patreon account, which is a crowdfunding account. You just follow the links on the episode notes of this page of this episode, or just go to the website and you'll see it, but it's patreon.com/naturopathicearth. You can donate anywhere from $1 to $5 to $10 a month to help defray the cost. We would appreciate that. Also, I have my first ebook, my memoirs, Confessions of an Obese Child, which covers the early years from age 5 to why did I become fat? And I cover the family dynamics that led to that, all through the bullying years and the taunting and the derision through my childhood. And I ended where on the final vignette or chapter is how I lost my weight. So it's a great little read. You can get it on Amazon for $2.99, Amazon Kindle or Barnes & Noble Nook for the same price. That's another way you can help us out. Also, on the website, we do have some links to Amazon. Anytime you click on those links, let's say you see a picture or a hypertext links for dark chocolate or something like that that I mentioned in an article. If you click on that, any purchase that you make through Amazon in the next 24 hours on any purchase, not the dark chocolate that you clicked on, we get a small 2% commission at no expense to you. So use those links. We would appreciate that. And as also, I'm a paleo-inspired wellness coach. If any of you are in the need to lose some weight, I might be able to help you, because I am one of the few people who have lost a lot of weight and kept it off for a long, 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 long time. Before I begin talking about a possible meat tax, I went to a wedding yesterday, and it was the first wedding I went to probably in at least 10 years. Like I was telling people at the wedding, at my age, you're going more to divorce parties than weddings. But it was two of my former students from the first year I was teaching about 10 years ago. And so now they're in their mid upper 20s and they got married. And I like to say I had something to do with it, because the boy, who's a guy now, he expressed interest to me that he had a crush on the girl. And so I indirectly told the girl, hey, this guy's into you. And later on, they started dating after they graduated. And they knew each other through Quiz Bowl. I was the sponsor of Quiz Bowl, which is kind of Team Jeopardy. It's like an academic decathlon club. And they were in my medical classes. And so it was just great to see that they got married. And the funny thing about weddings, and I haven't been to a lot, and it's similar to me like to funerals. When I go to funerals of colleagues, siblings or colleagues' parents, you don't know the person who's dead. But to get into the mood, I guess if you want to say you're getting into the mood, you think of Kansas as dust in the wind. That gets you depressed. But then you think about like if that was a family member that you knew, or like if that was your child in the coffin, or if that was your mother, then you start getting sad, because you know that the people in there, the family, are it's a major loss for them, right? And so it kind of puts you in that zone. And so to me, weddings are the same way. When I went to this wedding, of course, I was happy for them, right? And you love seeing the love in their eyes. And the cynic in you doesn't want to come out and say, well, you know, 50% chance you're going to get a divorce. And at the least, good chance that you're not going to like each other in about 10 to 15 years. You'll get on each other's nerves, but you don't want to think that because you want to see the love that's there. And you start kind of transposing or transferring, I should say, your past wedding experiences. So for me, like when I went to this wedding, I thought about when I got married back in 2001 to my ex-wife and you know, the events, the first dance, the first cake cutting, the toast. You think about that and you become a little wistful. Now, it could be wistful in that you're sad that the marriage fell apart and that you wish you tried harder, or maybe you're happy that the wedding or the marriage didn't work out because that person was crazy or not meant for you. But certainly you have some sort of emotions that come in because I think we all live with at least a modicum of regret, if not a lot of regret in either personal decisions we make or career decisions. And so when I went to this wedding, I thought about my ex-wife's wedding and our wedding night. And I also thought about like the other people you've dated and the ones like you've talked about getting married to at one point and you never did. Either you lost them or you made mistakes or they made mistakes or whatnot. And so when you go to the wedding, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm supposed to be here with this person and this reminds me of what my wedding with this person should have been like. So I can't speak for all of you guys, of course, but I can just speak for me. And I'm sure a lot of you go to weddings quite often. And they have to be, if you've been married at least, if you're young, you know, maybe you don't feel this way, but anyone who's been married or in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you do feel nostalgic and wistful. And you definitely transfer emotions, that your own personal emotions into the wedding that you're seeing. And I definitely wish Dorothy and Miguel well. And I'm sure they're going to have a fantastic marriage and have an amazing life. All right, let's get started. All right, so this topic's going to get my blood boiling, my Mexican blood boiling. So this is from CNN. This is from a week ago. Meat tax would save many lives and cut healthcare costs, study says. It would drive up the price of your barbecue, but a global meat tax could save 200,000 lives and cut healthcare bills by $41 billion each year, according to a new study. The numbers are based on evidence that links meat consumption to increased risk of heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes. So I already have some problems with this. The global meat tax. There's an agenda there. 3 years ago, the World Health Organization declared red meat such as beef, lamb, and pork to be carcinogenic when eaten in processed forms, including sausages, bacon, and beef jerky. No doubt. We've known since actually the 70s, that eating fake Franken meats, so this is going to be hot dogs, a lot of the deli meats, and all of them that are shot up with sodium nitrites, we know that there is a direct link to colorectal cancer. And I would agree with the WHO. This I remember that Time magazine had a big expose on this. So yeah, I mean, you definitely want to limit your Franken fake meats. That's why I kind of get mad at Subway as being perceived as the healthy fast food establishment. There really is no such thing as a healthy fast food establishment. No offense to you Chick-fil-A aficionados, but you know they cook in oils and fry foods, not just like everybody else, but they got chicken. The chicken's better. But Subway, I mean, look, I've talked about that. Subway was caught spraying Azo into their bread, the same yoga mat material to make it spongy. They've been caught spraying, and all the fast food does, that they spray chemicals on their produce to keep them fresh, quote unquote, longer. And again, how is Subway healthier if it's selling processed meat, which we know is a direct link to colorectal cancer? It's not. So guys, you got to get out of this mindset that deli meat's better for you because it's low fat, right? Because turkey, ham doesn't have fat. Remember, fat doesn't get you fat. Fat doesn't get you sick. Fat's good for you, especially if it's the right fat. Health officials have also declared that unprocessed meats like steak and burgers are probably carcinogenic.
Other carcinogens such as cigarettes and alcohol are regulated in order to reduce cases of chronic disease. A team of researchers led by Marco Springman from the Newfield Department of Population Health at Oxford estimated the rate of tax that would be necessary to offset healthcare costs related to red meat consumption. Quote, "The least intrusive form of regulation is a tax to raise prices and reduce consumption," close quote, says Springman. Researchers concluded that the UK government should introduce a tax of 79% on processed meat such as bacon and 14% on processed meat such as steak. 79% on processed meat such as bacon. In the US, these numbers would be 163% on processed meats like bacon and hot dogs, and 34% respectively. Quote, "The tax is high in the United States due to an inefficient health system that wastes a lot of money," says Springman. Yeah, this typical Brit with their socialized medicine casting aspersions on the United States healthcare. Yeah, like the Brit system is so much better. It's like, oh, we only have room for 20,000 MRIs this year. Oh, but I need this MRI. I have an acute pain. Oh, sorry, we hit the quota. Sorry. Yeah, is that what we want here in America? So we'll cover this number later on. 163 markup on your bacon. They also calculated the projected impact of so-called meat tax on death rates due to chronic disease. With reduced consumption of red meat, the study published on November 6th claims that there would be 200,000 fewer deaths from chronic disease per year around the world. Of that total, 6,000 deaths would be avoided in the UK and 53,000 in the United States. All right, look. Stalin had this great line. He said, one death is a tragedy, 100,000 is a statistic. Now, I would not want my family members to be one of the 220,000 in the world that die because of this. But honestly, 220,000 is nothing. That is nothing that would die that we would preventing worldwide from putting in this meat tax. 200,000 is nothing. Is nothing, even 53,000 in the United States. And that's their estimate, right? So we know this estimate's high because they have an agenda, because they're trying to tax us. So these numbers are poppycock. They're poppycock. Okay, so look, I mean, we don't want our family members to be one of those people, but it definitely does not justify incorporating this humongous tax. And we're going to talk about some of the problems with this red meat linked to cancer consumption thing. Global savings on healthcare would reach $41 billion, according to the report, which was published in the journal Public Library of Science 1. No doubt this journal is probably linked to George Soros or some UN, one world government initiative. The UK would save $1 billion per year, while the US would reduce spending by $20 billion. The benefits of reducing red meat consumption also go beyond reducing rates of disease and healthcare costs, does it? Quote, "Consuming red and processed meat not only affects your health, but also the economy at large," close quote, says Springman. Oh, I didn't do my really pseudo-British accent there. Citing decreased productivity due to illness and care for family members who suffer with chronic disease. Okay, so they're making the link that, yeah, so if we put in this tax, it's going to cut red meat consumption, and therefore you're going to be less sick and you won't have to take off days. Look at this specious logic. Regular consumption of processed meat has also been linked to a 9% higher risk of breast cancer. Processed meat, okay, according to an analysis of various scientific studies that was published in October. We know that too. In fact, eating an ultra-processed food can increase the risk of cancer, obesity, and diabetes, according to other research. That includes anything made with artificial flavor, additives, and emulsifiers, or high levels of sugar and salt. So that would be 90% of the supermarket that has artificial flavors, additives, and emulsifiers. That's all the middle aisles of the supermarket. All of them. Okay, so are we gonna put a tax on all those foods? Hell no. Governments around the world have already shown a willingness to tax products that have been linked with health problems, including cigarettes, alcohol, and sugar. Of course they are. It's increased revenue that they can misappropriate. The UK government announced a new tax on sugary drinks in 2016 in an attempt to cut consumption, and more than 50% of manufacturers have reduced the amount of sugar in their drinks to avoid the levy, which came into effect in April.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Okay, I have several problems with this idea of taxing meat. Several problems. First of all, meat, clean meat, is extremely important to your health. Now, the meat that we are given, that slop that we are given at fast food and at most restaurants and at the grocery store, is laden with antibiotics, growth hormones. It's sprayed with ammonia. The meat is horrible. It's horrible from diseased cows. And that stuff is garbage. But even that stuff, guys, has a lot of nutritional benefits. We get a lot of the complete proteins from meat, from red meat, that we're not going to be getting from only vegetarian sources, that we need to get from meat. So it is important, in my humble opinion, not to be a vegetarian and to get red meat on occasion. Now, am I saying that you should overconsume red meat? No. We know that having a large meat diet, especially barbecued or overcooked meat, leads to a higher rate of getting pancreatic cancer and a higher rate of getting gastritis. And we've talked about this, the idea of not overcooking your meat, in previous episodes, probably back in episodes 50 or 50. So I think it was episode 57. We talk about overcooking your meat and it being poor for your health. So it's definitely important to eat red meat. Now, should we avoid processed meat? Yes. Do I think it should be taxed? The nonsensical 100 and whatever percent they're saying that it needs to be taxed. No. Now, here's the other issue. They're saying here in America 163% for processed meats. So let's say your hot dogs cost $3. That's going to be now like $7.50. Is it going to dissuade people from eating that meat? Maybe some, but overall, probably not. We know that taxing marijuana in the states that have it hasn't dissuaded people from smoking marijuana. We know that taxing cigarettes has had a very small effect on dissuading people from smoking cigarettes. And we know that the soda tax and all these things really haven't worked. So taxing 163%, okay, it's not going to work. People are going to still eat processed meats. Should we avoid processed meats? Yes. My other issue is, where is this money going to go? Right? If we're taxing processed meats 163% and then taxing regular red meat, even if it's organic and grass-fed and good stuff, 34%, where is this money going to be going? And then how is it going to be allocated? Now, the article mentions that this is a global tax scheme. Anytime I hear the word global, I quiver in my boots, because global taxation is something that the UN has wanted for a long time. Now, many of you, surprisingly, don't know much about the true intentions of the UN and the white papers that it's published about its true agenda. Its true agenda, guys, is one world government, with it being its vehicle. Its true intention is to have the Lucis Trust be the official religion of the world. And the Lucis Trust, created by Alice Bailey, who was into Theosophy. If you know anything about Madame Blavatsky, she was the kind of the guru for Hitler. It's an occult theology where she was channeling spirits to write her books. Anyways, Alice Bailey was one of her disciples, and the Lucis Trust was created. So originally, it was called Lucifer Trust. Then they changed the name to Lucis. Now, Lucifer means light bearer. But if you look at the UN has the Great Invocation, which is their prayer, and the Lucis Trust is their official religion. Now, their official religion is New Age nonsense. So the goal of the UN, and many of you won't believe this because it's coming from me, is to eradicate Christianity and to initiate a one world government. Now, for them to have a one world government, they need a one world, they need a taxation system, and they need a global police. So there have been overtures in the past to get a global tax. And their main mechanism has been using the global warming sham. Now, some of you are like, oh my God, Gregory, you are just crazy. Now you're saying global warming's a sham, and you say the UN wants to destroy Christianity. Oh my God. Look, I know it's hard to believe if you've never heard this, but unfortunately, it is true. Global warming is a complete sham. Now, how do I know this? Let me backtrack. let me backtrack here. Man-made global warming is a complete sham. Now, the world, the globe, the Earth has gone through periods, climactic periods, ice age, for example, and then there was a warming trend later on. Like Greenland was colonized by the Vikings back around 900 AD, and they had a thriving colony there until about 1400 AD because during that time there was a warming trend. And then around 1400 AD, we had like a little mini ice age, and then all those colonies couldn't sustain themselves, and so they collapsed. So the world, the globe, the Earth goes through these periods of warming and cooling. So yes, are we in a warming stage right now? Yes. Is it caused by your SUV and some coal emission? No, that's all sham by these governments to justify having some sort of carbon footprint tax, some tax in which we are gauged and measured by our carbon emission, our carbon footprint, and so we can tax. And who's going to tax us? The UN, because the UN's been dying for a revenue stream for some time. So this is just another outlet. If it's a global tax issued by the World Health Organization and somehow accrued by the UN, they're going to be making a lot of money. So where's this money going to be going to? Is it really going to be channeled back into our public policy, public health? No. No, it's not. And even if it is it, well, are you and I really going to see a big difference in our health and our insurance rates going down? You know, it says in the article it's going to save people, what is it, $40 billion. Okay, $40 billion. Global savings on healthcare would reach $41 billion. Whoa, that $41 billion is nothing. And is that really going to affect us? Is that going to lower our tax premiums or our Obamacare? No. This is a scam. Just like in Texas, when they passed the lottery about 20 years ago, like, oh, and we're going to use the revenue for the lottery to fund public education so teachers won't be broke and they'll have a salary. It's the same situation. The teachers are broke and they keep slashing public education every year. So where is that lottery money going? The pockets, middle management, you know, pork barrel, just all this other nonsense to the lobbyist whores. So that's one of my issues. I don't like giving any country that's not the United States the ability to tax. They don't have the right to tax. We are sovereign citizens of the United States, and only the United States government has the right to tax us. And I am not relinquishing my sovereignty to the UN so the UN can daddy us and tell us how to eat. Now, the other issue I have is, yes, people with who eat a lot of red meat do have a slightly higher rate of getting cancer. Now, what they don't tell you is that typically people who eat a lot of red meat also are very high in the other high risk factor indicators, like they tend to smoke a lot, they tend to drink a lot, they tend to do drugs a lot, and they tend to engage in high-risk behavior. And it's those high-risk behaviors, drinking and smoking in particular, that raise their chances of cancer. So they're not establishing the study where they're using the other things as control and only isolating the red meat. So it's very misleading. Red meat consumption in itself is not carcinogenic, unless you eat a lot of it and you overcook it, as I previously mentioned. We are evolutionarily wired to eat meat. We are. We should be eating red meat. Now, we should be eating grass-fed organic meat because the other meat, as I've already mentioned, is garbage. But we are wired to eat meat. So this is a sham. And you need to see through this idea of, oh, paternalistic, benevolent, big brother government is looking out for our health. If they were looking out for our health, if they were really looking out for our health, would they not have removed bisphenol A and all the plasticizers that F up our hormones? Would they not removed fluoridated water? Would they not remove all the parabens and all the phthalates and all the VOCs and all the food dyes and all the other things in our food that cause cancer? No, they haven't done it because they don't care about our health. Just like restaurants don't care about our health. McDonald's doesn't care about your health. All they want is your money, money, money. And we are lambs to the slaughter. So please don't believe, especially you liberals, believe in this, oh, paternalistic big brother government is looking out for us. And yes, they should tax us cradle to grave and give us more handouts. And they're looking out for us. No, they're not looking out for you. They're not looking out for you. Liberal governments want you to be dependent on them because they know the more dependent you are on them, the more dependent you are on them for the handouts. And so you'll always vote for their party. What happened to the pioneering entrepreneurial spirit of the Americans of 100 years ago when we were frontiers people? We're individualistic, pioneering, entrepreneurial, individualistic, and we were self-sufficient. Now it's, oh, big brother, help. Oh, I can't control the meat that I'm eating, so please tax us 163%. No way. And look, if the government really cared about us, prior to taxing red meat, why don't they tax all the crap that's in the middle aisles of our supermarkets? All the cookies, candies, crackers, vegetable oils, fried chips, the popcorns, the frozen foods laden with salts and nitrates, and all the other garbage. Why don't they clean up that food? Why aren't we putting a tax on that food? If they really cared about us, they would get out all the food dyes, which are linked to ADD, ADHD, bladder cancer, and all these things like that. They would take out all the preservatives, which are linked to cancer. They would take out all the plastics, which are linked to hormone disruption and infertility. They would take out the fluoride from the water, which is linked to destroying our bones and linked to infertility and lowering our IQ, and take out all these other things. Okay, so where are the overtures for that? Where are the demands and the fulminations for that? There are none. There are none. So A, if they really cared about us, they would try to take all the toxins out and put in natural food dyes and make it preservative free. Now, I'm not a big fan of Whole Paycheck. Whole Paycheck is way overpriced, but at least they have a little manifesto where they've made a promise not to sell foods that have 35 specific toxic known carcinogenic bad chemicals. Now, there's an article on my website. If you Google Whole Foods in the search engine, it'll pull up all the 35 ingredients. So look, kudos to them. Now, of course, that justifies them marking up everything 85%. No, but kudos to them for at least making that attempt. So why can't government, and this is two different things, why can't government go after these companies and tell them to purge all the toxins out of their food? And why don't they do that? Because Big Food would never allow it. Big Food and its whores in Hollywood, through big advertising, and its whores in Washington, D.C., the lobbyists, have paid off all the politicians. So the politicians will never go after Nabisco, Procter & Gamble, Kraft, General Mills, and all this other garbage foods to have them purge it out. It's never going to happen because they're already in their pockets. Okay, so look, A, if government really cared about you, they would demand from these big food manufacturers to take out all the toxins, but they're not doing that. And the other thing is, they would try to put a tax on all those foods. Let's put taxes on your Doritos. Let's put taxes on your ice cream. Let's put taxes on your peanut butter and on your Twinkies and Ding Dongs and all this other garbage. Now, there have been some references, some allusions to putting a sin tax on junk food, but that hasn't come about yet. Now, on a microcosmic level, you see places like New York City where they put a ban. You can't get refills, or you can't buy drinks that are bigger than, 16 ounces and stuff like that. So they do put in those things. But again, the New York City government, it's not like they really care about your health. Come on. Don't be a Pollyanna. So there's a lot of things to take away from this article. One of them is, don't fall for this sham. This is a money-making sham from the UN to get revenue so they can do whoever knows what with their money. And don't think the UN's a great thing. Look, the UN was caught back in the 90s, in the Bosnian Wars, doing being involved in the sex slave trade. You know, if you've seen Taken with Liam Neeson, that thing is legit. And the UN was caught doing that in Bosnia in the mid-1990s during their civil war. The UN is notorious for population control and force vaccinating Africans, where they've come out, the Africans, when the UN workers come into their village, they go and mutilate them and kill them because these vaccines, even they know, have chemicals in them that make the women infertile. And so the Africans don't want to become infertile. They see it as a global depopulation scam. And so even they know that the UN vaccine initiative is a sham. Same for Bill Gates's wife, Gabby, the vaccination program that she's sponsoring. If you keep up anything with that news, it's the same thing. All these vaccines are laced and they're trying to depopulate Africa and Asia and making these women infertile. It's complete nonsense. The UN is insidious, 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 insidious. Hey, unless you're into eugenics and depopulation and you want to pray the great invocation every day. And if you don't want to know what the great invocation is, Here's a little snippet of our great invocation. Okay, this is sponsored by the Lucis Trust, which is sponsored by the UN, the Lucifer Trust. And listen to this new age poppycock. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light, Lucifer, light bearer. Let light descend on earth. Lucifer descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God. Who's the God they're talking about here? Let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May he return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. The masters, who are they? From the center which we call the race of man, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Now, evil here is Christianity. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. The plan. Eleanor Roosevelt was big into this. You can find YouTube videos of her praying this great invocation, all this New Age occult nonsense. So, look. You don't need to believe in the UN, the UN conspiracy theory, I'm telling you, because I know a lot of you believe in the UN and think it's great. But look, taxation on sin, on meat, bad idea. We need red meat. Do we need to be eating processed meat all the time? Hell no. Do I believe we should tax processed meat? No, I don't. I don't. I go back to like my obesity. I think you need to be accountable for what you put in your mouth. We need to do a better job of educating people that processed meat is bad. But even I don't believe that we should be taxing processed meat. I'm a libertarian in nature, and I don't believe the government should be taxing anything. Certainly, we shouldn't be processing regular or taxing regular meat. That is nonsensical because red meat is good for you. How about we do a grassroots effort and demand that they clean up our commercial red meat and get the growth hormones and antibiotics and all that out of it? Or how about the government go after Cargill and Conagra and all these meat manufacturers and demand they take that nonsense out, all that garbage out of our meat and make it clean so it's not carcinogenic? But of course, they're not going to do that because Cargill and Conagra have all their whores in Washington, all the lobbyists paying off the politicians. But that's what we should be demanding. So look, you need to be eating red meat. You don't need to be eating it all the time. A couple of times a week is fine. Mix in some pork, mix in some fish, mix in a lot of produce, of course, nuts, seeds. Eat a paleo-inspired diet. So don't fall for the taxation. Don't fall for this idea that red meat's bad for you. And certainly see the hypocrisy of big food where it is. If they really cared about your health, they would demand that they take the toxins out of all the processed foods in the middle aisles, and they would demand that we tax those things as well, but they're not doing that, are they? So don't fall for the ruse. This is a canard. This is a deception wrapped in duplicity, and don't fall for it. All right, guys, as always, post a review. If you don't agree with me, fine. Post a review. Give me one star. Express yourself, just like Madonna says, right? And as always, opt in. Go to the website, opt in, so all the food recipes and all my articles can be sent directly to your email. And please hit the subscribe button so all these episodes come directly to your phone. As always, post a review for Kate's Apothecary, Confessions of an Obese Child. Check out my last one that I did on fat rolls and the bloopy. And as always, post a review and listen to upcoming Confessions of an Obese Child and MP Radio and Cup of Health News episodes. Until next time, take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.